Today we talk about future events that will rock the world.
We're seeing the breakdown of Western civilization now, and Satan has been effectively attacking the foundation and the pillars. The Judeo-Christian worldview is now being stripped out of it, and so what we're being left with is this new world order that must by necessity destroy the old world order.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, radio for the remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan spends the hour with author Pete Garcia. They discuss his new book, co-authored with Terry James, The Disappearing, Future Events That Will Rock the World. Are you and those you love ready for what the Bible predicts for a last generation? Here is today's programming.
Pete, do you think we're witnessing the collapse as we speak of Western civilization? Of course, how would that play into the potential for a coming new world order?
In Matthew 16, Jesus tells Peter upon his confession that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Well, we got to think too that Jesus is not the only one building his church and building his kingdom. Satan is actively working on his church, which will be the mystery Babylon, Revelation 17. And he's also building his kingdom, which will be the coming beast system that will one day be personified in the man Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing now and for the last 100 years is this determined, relentless effort by those who hold to this Luciferian agenda that whether they believe it's a Lucifer or not, for whatever they believe in, they believe that bringing a global government is the right thing to do.
Right.
And that it will solve all the world's problems. We've seen this agenda through their public announcements of depopulation, of these climate green laws and things that will really revolutionize how the world will live and operate. So I think that we are witnessing, just like in Newton's second law of thermodynamics, you have this idea of entropy, that over time things break down. We're seeing the breakdown of Western civilization now, and Satan has been effectively attacking the foundation and the pillars. The Judeo-Christian worldview is now being stripped out of it, and so what we're being left with is this new world order that must by necessity destroy the old world order.
Welcome to the program. I'm always glad you can join me on Understanding the Times Radio. Have an interesting hour today. My guest is going to be author Pete Garcia, who is co-author of the new book, which we are carrying, The Disappearing Future Events That Will Rock the World. Co-authored Terry James and Pete Garcia, and I'm privileged to have written the foreword for the book. Obviously, we're going to talk about just that. What's going to happen with the disappearing? I want to read just a couple of paragraphs from the book and then bring my guest on. The book says this, and again, I'm just concisely referring to just a few paragraphs, and it says, within moments of the rapture of the church, the world will realize that something has gone terribly wrong. Setting aside the obvious issues at hand, like the massive spike in vehicular accidents, as drivers and operators disappear, the spiritual void left in the world will have been altered to such a degree that even the spiritually dead will notice it. Interesting thought. Just as one would notice a sudden change in the weather. For a brief moment in human history, there will be no redeemed people living on the earth. Just another paragraph or two. The authors go on to say, although the specific change will be unknown to the unredeemed, the change is God, the Holy Spirit, removing his hand of restraint to stop, slow down, or redirect the hordes of demonic legions waiting to move in. Remember, folks, the church is gone, so when the demonic hordes move in, it's to the unbelieving world. And then one more paragraph I'll read. The next thing people will start to notice is that many of their family members, friends, and co-workers are nowhere to be found. Most normal unredeemed people will be trying to figure out what just happened. However, the wicked will sense a moment of great opportunity. And they say between the car crashes and missing persons reports, who is left in law enforcement will be overwhelmed to the point that the entire system will fail. The left behind leaders, this is important, will desperately seek answers as well as military solutions for the disappearance and for the unrest left in their wake. Presumably, the day will begin as usual, but it will end in various forms of lockdowns and the administration of martial law across the planet. The average person will turn to the media and local elected officials for answers about why so many members, friends, family members, neighbors are suddenly gone. And I'm going to stop there. Again, we're carrying this excellent new book. We'll say more about how you can get a hold of it later. And one of the co-authors is Pete Garcia. So, Pete, welcome back to Understanding the Times Radio.
Thanks for having me, Jan.
Pete, how do you think folks will explain this great disappearing that's, in your mind, in my mind, imminent?
I think that what will happen immediately after the rapture, I mean, obviously there's going to be the shock of the event itself happening, people trying to wrap their minds around the devastation that they're going to see. But shortly thereafter, the governments that remain behind are going to try and spin this in a way that negates their standing and what the Bible, any type of biblical connection to it. So they'll either use, you know, it's aliens, mm-hmm. it's Gaia, it's some kind of supernatural cosmic cleansing of the earth. I think controlling the message is going to be the big thing shortly after the rapture, which is why the book for us was such an important deal. Something that was small, portable to carry around, explains everything, explains what's happening in great detail. And I think the internet will probably be shut down shortly after the rapture until they can get a handle on how to message this correctly.
And you even have a section in the book about what to do for those left behind. And we're going to get to that here before we get to the end of the hour, because I think that's so important to address. We're actually talking right now to people who are going to be left behind. It's not going to be the church folks, but it's going to be unbelievers who just refuse to give their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. You write, Pete, that Satan is the chief opponent of the rapture. How true? And you say he escalates the theologies that denigrate it, that suggest there's no such thing and encourage people to ignore it. And then you say Satan also keeps people preoccupied with this world, wanting to hang on to this world. And some preachers say, which is my words here now, I think they're clinging to the words of some prosperity teachers, that we can have our best life now, that we can have peace and prosperity and perfection on this earth. Of course, you and I know that's not possible.
Yeah, and I think the reason Satan hates the rapture so intensely is because it signals to him that he has a very, very short period mm-hmm. of time left to enact his plans. And he is not sitting idly by now, by any stretch. He is currently preparing, stage setting, grooming the right leaders, you know, the right positions, from the 10 kings to the false prophet to the Antichrist. He is busy working to get his kingdom ready to go on day one. The day after the rapture, he is going to be ready to go. But the reason he hates it, again, is because it tells him he's got a very, very short period of time before his judgment comes.
I want to play just a couple of sound bites, and I'm also going to play a couple of clips later in the program of you and Terry James on Skywatch. But before I do that, I just want to play a couple of clips of folks who are, I introduced the program saying there's tremendous pushback to what you and I believe. And some of these come from professing Christians, you know, just where their heart is actually at, spiritually speaking. I can't answer that. But one of them is the son of Frank and Edith Schaefer, Frankie Schaefer. And here he's on the Joy Reid program. And folks, programming like this reaches over time millions of people. And it's why Pete Garcia and I have an extra effort here in trying to convince people that what's about to happen is really about to happen, because there are so many who are calling it nonsense.
You have to understand that the evangelical Christian movement in America latched on to a 19th century concept that was hatched by someone called John Nelson Darby, who said that Jesus could not come back until Israel had been restored as a nation peopled by Jews and Jerusalem was the capital. This is not traditional Christian teaching going back into the ages, even of the Protestant church. This was not a concern of Martin Luther or any Roman Catholic or the Greek Orthodox or anyone else. If you want to update to the present, when I was a kid with my parents in their ministry of Labrie, we had a number of Christian leaders come by, and one of them had written, Hal Lindsey had written a book called The Late Great Planet Earth, in which he predicted the end times coming in 1980s. He said it's now possible because Israel has been restored. And then others came back and said, no, Jesus can't come back yet because Jerusalem's not restored. Fast forward to the 16 books and 4 films that you had that came out of the Left Behind series, written by a friend of mine, Jerry Jenkins, and his sidekick co-author that wrote it with him. And you've got 60 million copies sold that essentially are total fiction. I'm going to give you an analogy. This is as if the Twilight Zone had been taken as gospel by some religious group, and they were going back through old episodes and basing an entire cultic kind of religion on it.
So, Pete Garcia, you have Frankie Schaefer saying that what you and I believe is cult-like, and that's not particularly unusual to get that kind of pushback.
The left, and I'd say the theological left and liberalism within mainstream Christianity, has succumbed to the same problem that the Pharisees and the Sadducees of Jesus' day did, that they did not expect a real Messiah to show up. So when the Messiah showed up, they treated him with disdain and had him executed because their belief was so passionate that the Old Testament prophecies couldn't be true. I think that these Christians, so-called, are going to be in for a real shock here. Yeah. And the fact that they can't see the things happening today and look at it with any type of prophetic lens is that they're really blinded to the reality of God's word, that the Bible is one-third prophetic in nature. It's scattered throughout every book of the Bible. There's twice as many passages about Christ's second coming than there is his first coming. It's just sad. And the fact that they have the reach and the power that they do means that some forces other than God are empowering them to confuse and delude the message.
I think it's particularly sad when professing Christians, and I'm using the word professing Christians, I don't know the true heart of Frankie Schaefer at all, but when professing Christians start mocking, as you say, something that takes one third of the Bible. And one more clip, again, this is going to be Rick Wiles, who's going to say that there's a two-headed monster out there. The two-headed monster consists of those who believe, as we do, in a pre-tribulation rapture, but at the same time, Pete, we have a loyalty, because the Bible does, to the nation of Israel. We would be called Christian Zionists. So Rick Wiles here talking about the secret pre-trib rapture. By the way, it's not going to be a secret when it happens, folks. I promise you.
The secret pre-trib rapture story and Christian Zionism, that's a two-headed
monster.
Yeah. It's a two-headed freak monster, okay? They come together. Both of them come together because they were started by the same people. The Christian Zionists started the pre-trib rapture doctrine.
And this was seed planted decades ago, but it came into full fruit the last 30 years.
They had to create the pre-trib rapture doctrine to justify Christian Zionism. That's where it all came from. But isn't it interesting that in the recent decades, where the American Evangelical Church has been taken over by Christian Zionism, that the American Evangelical Church has lost its flavor.
Yes.
It's lost its saltiness. It is of no use anymore to God in this country.
Right. In fact, things are worse off now than they were 30 years ago.
We've become a pagan nation.
We're Babylon.
We're Babylon, and it happened on the watch of the Christian Zionists. I'm laying it on your doorstep, Christian Zionists. You are the cause of America's decline.
Those are strong words,
They're
Rick.
Strong words, and I mean it. They took control of the churches in America, the Christian Zionists. They changed the gospel. They took Jesus off the cross. They replaced the cross with the Star of David. They took the focus off God and holiness. They put it all on a piece of land in the Middle East. And America has gone to hell. America's gone to hell. We've become a pagan, heathen nation because the Christian Zionists have taken our eyes off Jesus.
Well, my goodness, Pete Garcia, it would be nice if we had this much influence in the church, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I can't remember who said it. I think it was Brandon Holehouse that said that prophecy is preached in about 2% of the pulpits in America
today.
That's
right.
Wow, that is a lot of influence for 2%. I guess he's got to discount the rest of all the other things that are dragging America down.
Yeah,
blame it all on Christians.
That was my takeaway, is the fact that Rick thinks that we have this much power and influence in the church, when in fact, the most frequent email I get is, where can I find a church that might be talking about the fact that the king is coming? So clearly the pulpits are silent, other than a handful that are telling the truth. Folks, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line author Pete Garcia, because he is co-author with Terry James of the new book, We Carry the Disappearing, Future Events That Will Rock the World. You can find this in my online store at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. And I am very, very moved by the book. I've read about 90% of it here, and I've actually been privileged to write the foreword to the book. I'm just going to cite something that I write in the foreword, and I say this. I'm not certain why the pulpits have dropped the glorious topic in the last 30 years. Perhaps the Herald campings scared solid people away from Bible prophecy. Perhaps the date setters have caused too much wreckage. Perhaps the topic doesn't fit into your best life now scenario that the church loves to talk about. Perhaps the church has started a 25-year building program and the rapture would be bad for their fundraising efforts. Again, these are my comments in the foreword of the book, and then I conclude, or maybe Bible prophecy is just a casualty of the predicted great falling away from sound doctrine. And then I say, all I know for sure is that believers must have hope, and with the world crumbling all around us, we are left with only the predicted blessed hope. I hope you would agree with that, Pete.
Oh, I do.
You talk about a lot of things in this book, and we can only get to a few bullet points. I'm glad that you referenced the dilemma of amillennialism, because there are even a lot of listeners, and they may not be loyal listeners if they happen to be amillennial, but I think we need to explain what that is, because you and I happen to be premillennial dispensationalists, which I think is so key. If you're looking for a new church, folks, that's what you key in on. Why don't you give a couple of paragraphs on the dilemma of amillennialism, and that is the theology that would replace Israel with the church and not take anything literally, but how does that affect, for instance, the content of your book?
Well, the first 3 centuries of the early church were predominantly premillennial, so they believed in a literal return of Christ to the earth, who would then establish a 1,000-year reign, a 1,000-year kingdom. Around the 3rd and 4th centuries, you have men like Origen, who was greatly influenced by Greek philosophy, who went on to influence a guy named Augustine, who essentially laid the foundations, doctrinally speaking, for the Roman Catholic Church. And he was a big proponent. He's blending Greek philosophy in with Christian theology. And really the takeaway was that the flesh was bad and the spirit was good. And so when he applied some of the hermeneutics he got from Origen in allegorizing scripture, he applied that to the prophetic text as well. So when you get to a chapter like Revelation 20 that mentions yes, a 1,000-year kingdom 6 times, well, you can't really take that seriously. That's just really the kingdom is God's reigning in heaven right now. This Augustinian philosophy then was foundational to the development of the Roman Catholic Church, who was the accepted church of the pagan world, right? That they allowed this church to rise up amongst their midst because they were able to accommodate so many different cultures and societies. And, you know, 1,000 years goes by and they begin to believe that they are the kingdom. And if you have a kingdom, you need somebody to rule. So we have the Vicar of Christ, who is the Pope, right? That's one of his titles, Vicar of Christ. He is a man who rules vicariously in the place of Christ. When you have that much vested interest in this kingdom here and now, the last thing you want to do is talk about a kingdom that's coming.
Sure.
So unfortunately, during the Protestant Reformation, when Martin Luther and the rest of the protesters left Roman Catholicism, one of the baggage they took with them was this Roman Catholic eschatology of amillennialism.
Exactly,
and that's
right,
where it's planted itself into a lot of the mainstream Christian denominations, unfortunately.
And that is my concern, because you're absolutely right that it was certainly a part of Roman Catholicism, but then the reformers came along and they chose to hang on to this amillennialism rather than embrace premillennial dispensationalism, which now I don't have to name all the denominations, and there may be some exceptions, but your Lutheran Church, Methodist Church, Presbyterian, all of these are amillennial, and they think what we embrace here is, again, like going back to Frankie Schaeffer, science fiction practically, which I think is one of the biggest tragedies of theology of the last 500 years.
Yeah, and to Frankie Schaeffer's position,
yeah,
he has a great historical misunderstanding, or maybe it's purposeful, I don't know, of how it came to be, just like Luther did not invent salvation by grace through faith. He didn't invent that. He simply rediscovered what was already there. The same thing with Darby. Darby didn't invent dispensationalism. He just rediscovered what's already in the text written there. All Darby did was codify what was already there and put it into a way that we can understand it and laid it out for us and began this conversation again. And I've heard this argument so many times from liberal theologians that if they would just take 5 minutes and Google some basic history, they would realize how ridiculous the whole Darby invented this statement is.
I'm going to play a clip. It's of you and Terry James, because Terry is your co-author. Again, the book is The Disappearing Folks, co-authored by Terry James and Pete Garcia. This is a short clip of you folks on Skywatch TV, and here you are discussing the condition of the world post-rapture, which is why I read those paragraphs opening the program, because I think that the condition of the world post-rapture is going to be so stunning. A few folks will realize what just happened. They have loved ones who told them it was going to happen. Suddenly it happens and they recognize it. And I think millions of others will have no clue what just transpired.
And I'd love your thoughts, both of you, on this. The condition of the world, what will the fallout from the rapture taking place? What does that look like?
So just looking at it from an American perspective, we have roughly 40 million Americans. If even 10% of that is removed, you're looking at 30 to 40 million Americans immediately gone. So that means nobody's showing up to work, nobody paying their bills or mortgage. We're talking about the complete economic collapse of the United States. If you look at what 9/11 did to the industry and what just happened a few years ago when we shut down the economy, this is going to be that times 1,000.
It'll totally eclipse it from anything we've ever seen before.
And let me interject one thing here. Can you just imagine, we talked in our last week's program, we talked about the disappearance of children, the going of children in the rapture.
Right.
Now, can you just imagine how many children? Now, I'm talking about children in the womb, even, because conception, we believe, and God's going to, I think, say at that very moment, when conception begins, when life begins, in his opinion, I think every womb is going to be empty at that moment of rapture. So just imagine not only the financial things that Pete's talking about, but the emotional, unbelievable. It'll be so terrible this time right after the rapture.
I want to direct people, and I'm switching the order of this a little bit, because I really feel like this is super important, and I want to get on this right away. There is a section of your book, The Disappearing, and for those that missed it last week, I'll read it again. The subtitle, Future Events That Will Rock the World. Pete, there's a section of this that I think could be used by teachers right now, pastors right now, loved ones that, like I mentioned, are praying for their own prodigal children, to hand them a copy of this book, and it could be discovered post-rapture on a shelf, or even serve as a warning to somebody curious. What is this mass event where these guys are suggesting that maybe downwards of almost half the earth are gone suddenly? But I love the fact that you guys have included a section that's meant to be discovered. It's like a field guide. It's a what to do if you are here now, post this event.
I originally came up with that through my website, and I wrote an article, and I wanted it to be written in such a way that it could be printed out on one piece of paper, and you could have both sides so that you could print it out, you could fold it up and carry it with you, and it has everything you need. It really is an outline, and some of the key things not to do, i.e. do not take the mark of the beast, whatever. Hey, you're probably going to die because martyrdom is almost insured in Revelation 13:7 and other places, but do not take the mark. For whatever you gain in a couple of years, you will lose for eternity in hell, in the lake of fire. So that really was my thought process. And years ago, I had this event that happened in that, and God impressed upon me to prepare the underground. And I didn't know what that meant at the time, but I believe that God has allowed this time for the internet to be the way it is, for the ministries like this to be the way it is, that we are planting and planting and planting all of this seed for those that will be left behind. And I believe right after the rapture, there will be a great harvest and people will realize what's happened.
Yeah.
And the world is going to try and censor this message. We've seen it happen with the censorship recently, right? So there's a small window of time where people are going to realize what had happened before the beast system takes control of the narrative.
Pete Garcia, you gentlemen referenced the age of accountability. We don't know what that is. There's certainly differing opinion, and I think your opinion of the age of accountability is much higher than mine would be. I think it would be, for instance, 6, 7, 8 years old, perhaps, and I think you feel it's much older than that. But nonetheless, whatever age it is, those under that age are going to be taken to heaven, which is going to unleash mass confusion on the earth.
Yeah, my view on it is a little different from most folks. The only age in the Bible that even mentions anything near this topic is the age of 20. That's in Exodus 30, and again, Numbers 32:11. Because if God is consistent, which I believe he is, then that consistency applies to every child under that age, whether you call it 7, 8, or whether it's older. There is no mention of children inside of the tribulation, with the exception of those that are nursing, that are newborns.
That's right.
And that's even at the midpoint. It just seems to me that the absence of the mention of young children with anything related to the tribulation time period, the 7th week of Daniel, tells me the children from around the world, from all cultures, are going to feel this equally. And so that's what helps precipitate this to be a truly global crisis, and not just one that knocks out the U.S. or certain countries that are predominantly Christian. I think everywhere is going to feel this aspect of the rapture.
My concern is that children weren't spared, for instance, such events as the flood. Children weren't spared. So sometimes I wonder, why would they be spared in the rapture when they weren't in the flood? They weren't spared in Sodom and Gomorrah, etc. What makes this different?
The difference between this one and any preceding judgment, or even just life in general, children have been dying.
That's right.
Going back to Cain and Abel. So the death of children, we're talking about the first death, is not what's really in discussion here. But the 70th week of Daniel introduces this new technology called the Mark of the Beast that once it's taken, condemns the bearer to hell forever. So either God has to make an exception for children, say even 10-year-olds who don't really understand, but their parents are making them get it, or they're just not there to begin with. They can't be given this mark because they're not there. Now, there may be some stipulation you don't give it to infants because they're just too little. They have no purpose for it. They may not be physically viable to put it on infants. Whatever the case is, I believe that God removes them from the equation so that it's not even a factor at that point that the children are gone. Like you said, children have died throughout all of human history. There's really been no exception to that, with the flood and Sodom and Gomorrah and Jericho, the walls falling, etc. But this is different in the sense that Satan is introducing this technology that condemns the bearer to hell forever. I think that's what the main difference is.
Okay. We already gave a tease about the book is going to have a chapter for those who are left behind, and I want to talk about that in part two of my programming. Let me just throw this in quickly, that we had an outstanding evening back on April the 21st with Pastor Brandon Holthouse for our fifth Understanding the Times bi-monthly meeting here in the Twin Cities area. We talked about a lot of current events, had a panel and a short Q&A, and it's all available on DVD, and you can access it as well on our website at no cost. You can find the DVD in my online store at olivetreeviews.org, or you can watch the evening at olivetreeviews.org and just go to video. We just had an extremely interesting time. We live streamed the event to thousands, and others viewed the archived version here, and we'll continue to view it in the coming many weeks. It's information you might want to tap into that we featured back on April 21st with Pastor Mark Henry at his church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. And we'll say a little bit more about the next activity coming up on June the 9th with both Dr. Mark Hitchcock and Jeff Kinley, who've written a new book on the reset. So that will be happening on Thursday, June 9th here in the Twin Cities area, but available to the world by accessing MarkHenryMinistries.com, MarkHenryMinistries.com to live stream all these events. Back in just a minute or two with my guest, Pete Garcia.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In the age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries. More and more people are acknowledging that world events are apocalyptic or foretold in the Bible. We are a privileged generation. That is why we carry many products to help you understand these last days. One of our most helpful DVDs is Dr. Ed Heinsohn's video, Understanding Revelation in 60 Minutes. Since most churches will not teach this final book of the Bible, Dr. Heinsohn has produced a video to give you a one-hour overview that is easy to understand. Find it in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. One-third of the Bible talks about the future, and the book of Revelation is the key to understanding the final days. Learn from one of our best teachers, Dr. Ed Heinsohn, and his video, Understanding Revelation in 60 Minutes.
I think that God has allowed this time that we're in right now to seed the planet with talk of biblical eschatology, with talk of the rapture, with talk of what's coming in the tribulation. The devil's going to have his hands full getting all this information policed up. And I think people are going to get their hands on it. That's why I think these books and DVDs and these podcasts, interviews, sermons that are still available that I know many believers are saving and stockpiling now for those left behind are so crucial to getting the message out.
Are you taking advantage of all that Olive Tree Ministries has to offer, from live streamed events to daily headlines and articles, an active online store, archive radio programs, and more? Visit our website for all details, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Now, here are Jan Markell and Pete Garcia to wrap up today's programming.
I've studied rapture theories from pre-trib to mid-trib to post-trib, and a lot of people that argue against a pre-trib rapture say that that is amerocentric, because these things that we talk about happening during the tribulation have been happening in other places for decades. Yeah. And so what makes us so special that we would escape it when other people have had to be martyrs for the last, well, it never has stopped in some places of the world. So what would you guys say to that?
I would just say that persecution has been a mainstay of the human story, going back to Cain and Abel. I mean, Cain killing Abel was kind of the start of that. So persecution in and of itself is not something that we could really gauge where we are in God's calendar with. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 11, all about the hall of faith and those that were sawn asunder and destitute and left, the heroes of our faith that will one day be pillars in God's heavenly temple. They suffered. And there's suffering, and there's suffering going on for all this time. But what makes this time unique is that Western civilization, since about the 13th century with the Magna Carta, began to invoke this idea of individual liberty. And we have set so many safeguards from that time forward, even through our Constitution, which has the separations of power.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if that were to collapse, then everything is lost. We've entered a new dark age. But thankfully, we have those safeguards.
It's been attributed to several people, but the one that I believe it really belongs to is what Ruth Graham said. And she said that if God doesn't judge America based upon the things we've seen develop, then he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. And we know God does not owe anybody an apology. Mm. Yeah. So, amerocentric or not, when we talk about these things, the judgment is coming.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question about it. I'm praying that it is post-rapture for my own selfish reasons, of course, but it's coming. And this has been the most blessed nation materially and spiritually in many ways that's ever existed on this planet. And we're murdering up to 65, 70 million babies by now.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that's not being taken lightly by God. So America's judgment is coming. And so what our job is in this book, for example, is to forewarn people.
Yeah.
That judgment is coming, and they're not getting it from the pastors and not getting it from the pulpits. So that's what the books are about.
And that was the voice closing off that clip of co-author Terry James. And I have the other co-author on the line with me, and that would be Pete Garcia. The book is The Disappearing: Future Events That Will Rock the World. And I have the privilege of writing the foreword for the book. And it talks about just that, all the things that are coming up on the timeline that the Bible outlines. And the church is going to be escaping a number of the things, particularly the tribulation, meeting the Antichrist. We're not going to meet the false prophet, etc., because the church is enjoying heaven during that 7 years of hell on earth, if we can be that blunt. I am discussing some of these issues with co-author Pete Garcia. You can learn more at his website, Rev310.net, Rev310.net. I'm playing some clips, particularly emphasizing the two authors on a recent Skywatch TV program. Pete Garcia, one of the key issues of the rapture is imminency, and that is that it could happen any minute. In other words, the disappearing, which is the title, it could happen literally at any minute. Nothing has to happen first. So a lot of these signs that we talk about, signs of the times, really are for perhaps more the second coming. But that second coming period of time is casting a shadow on the church age. And therefore, we're literally seeing some of those things that are going to really manifest in the tribulation that we escape. But those things are casting a shadow on our world today as we speak.
It is. Like the old adage says, when you start seeing the signs for Christmas, you know, Thanksgiving's all the sooner. I think the fact that we've seen the rebirth of the nation of Israel, we've seen Europe coalesce into this European Union, we're seeing the technology that can, for the first time in human history, enable one government and even one person to control all buying and selling in the world. Mm-hmm. The fact that we have satellite television, live stream events as they happen in real time from anywhere in the world, these are the technologies and the events that are required to be in Revelation chapter 4 on. The fact that we're seeing them now should sound the alarm yes. for how soon the rapture is going to be. And in order for imminence to be true, and in order for no man to know the day or the hour, the only position the rapture could be is before it happens, because the tribulation, or the 70th week of Daniel, as it's officially called, is the most heavily chronicled period of 7 years in history and in the Bible. The only way that it could happen where nobody would know when it's going to happen is if it happens before. That's really the only time.
You talk about a gap, and I do believe there has to be a gap. What kicks off the 70th week of Daniel is the signing of a peace treaty between the Antichrist and the nation of Israel. There's got to be a gap that happens after the rapture and before the tribulation. I don't know that we know what length of time that's going to be. Let's play this clip, come back and talk about it.
Pete, we'll start with you this week. I want to jump right in. You mentioned a gap in time between the rapture and the official start of the tribulation, which the word itself, tribulation, might also need some explaining for those new to the idea that there is a coming tribulation.
The tribulation, as it's been commonly referred to, is really the 70th week of Daniel. In the 5th century, the angel Gabriel gave Daniel a prophecy called the 70 weeks. And these are weeks of years. So 69 weeks led up to the arrival and to the death of Christ. And then there was a pause, if you will, on God's plan, which allowed for the church age to begin. So there is still 1 week yet future that is still needs to be concluded. That is the 70th week of Daniel, and it's kind of broken in part in two, and it's divided in the middle with the abomination of desolation. So the whole 70th week is highly chronicled, highly time-sensitive, and it's marked with these 21 series of judgments. And a lot of the things that happen within the 70th week or the tribulation, there is a belief by many that there has to be some time preceding that for some of the events to take place, like the building of the city, this new Babylon.
Right, right.
But there's nothing in Scripture that ties the rapture with the official start of the 70th week. The official start of the 70th week starts in, according to Daniel 9:27, with this covenant that's confirmed between Israel and the many. That's when the clock starts for that. Mm-hmm. And that will count down exactly 7 years. And these are these prophetic years, 30-day months, 1,260 days, and then there's a middle, and then another 1,260 days. Times, time, and half a time for that last part, which Jesus referred to that as the Great Tribulation. I believe, and many believe, that there is this period of time leading between the rapture and the official start of the 70th week. We don't know exactly how long that will be, but I believe it could be anywhere upwards of 3.5 years, maybe more. But that would allow for some of the things that other prophecies talk about, for those things to happen that aren't necessarily inside of the boundaries of the 70th week itself.
That was my guest, Pete Garcia, talking about this gap that happens perhaps right after the rapture. Pete, I don't see it as being years. And I say that, and we're kind of going back to part one of my programming. Children will be missing. Babies may be missing. The world is going to be in complete chaos. Perhaps some major leaders of Western powers will be missing. They're going to need a Mr. Fix-It very quickly. That's my take. But you feel it could be 2-3 years.
Certainly, I don't know how long the gap would be. What I know for sure is I don't think the rapture is going to happen one day and then the covenant's going mm-hmm. to get signed the next day. There's going to be a period of time, and however long that time is, I've heard upwards of 10 years. I don't think it's that long either, but I do think anywhere 2-3 years in that time frame is fairly reasonable. We look at all the things that have to happen, particularly with the rebuilding of Babylon. If it's going to be in the geographical place where we believe it's going to be, somewhere in Iraq, modern day Iraq, or if it's somewhere near Iraq, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, that area, there has to be time to build that. And I know that these cities can be built fairly quickly, but they can't be built instantly. There is still some time built in there. But also with the rebuilding of the temple, the Battle of Gog, Magog, it just seems like there is time implied there. Mm-hmm. To the fact that there is a gap altogether, just the fact that Daniel 9:27, which chronicles the 70th week, as well as the rapture passages found in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, Revelation 3, John 14, 1 through 3. There's no connective tissue between the two events. So to me, that again implies they're two separate events. There's nothing that says they have to happen right away. Now, certainly the day after the rapture, or the second after the rapture, the world is going to be thrown in chaos, just
absolutely,
as it explains it. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 5. I think there is a period of time for chaos, and then out of that chaos will rise this man and a system that comes about that begins to clamp down on the world.
So there's going to be salvation offered in the tribulation. As a matter of fact, that may be the greatest revival of all times, would be those coming to faith during the tribulation. You actually talk about it, and there's another voice here I want to identify talking about it in this little clip, and that's Jonathan Brentner, and we actually carry his book. We'll say more about that at a later time. Right now, folks, we're kind of focusing in on the new book, The Disappearing Future Events That Will Rock the World, co-authors Terry James and Pete Garcia. But let's play this clip, come back, and talk about it.
In Romans 8, Paul describes that the world is currently groaning under this burden of sin, the curse of sin, and all the blood that's been shed on the ground since going back to Abel. And at that point, at the millennial kingdom, when Christ returns to rule from the throne of David, which is in Jerusalem, and he is going to lift that curse, and the earth will be restored, and then there will be those that make it through the tribulation. They go into this time period as in their normal physical mortal bodies. And they will live under this one world system with Christ at the head of it. In the church, we will be ruling and reigning with him.
And I was going to say that part of the good news is that there will be millions of people who will be saved, I believe, early in the tribulation. I believe there will be people at churches who are professing Christians, they're depending on church attendance or whatever, who think they're saved. But they're not, and as soon as the rapture happens, they'll realize it. I think that'll be part of the multitude that John saw in the book of Revelation, wow, who are standing before the throne. They've been martyred, yes, but they have eternal life.
Wow.
And so that's part of the good news, too. Yeah.
People that have been taught their whole life, but maybe circumstantially, even privately. Not to change the gears of this program, but we all know that it's mega time in the church, pornography addiction.
Oh, wow, yeah.
We're going to switch gears and do a whole show on that, but the point is we could. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to imagine, like you're talking, that John sees this vast number of people. How many of those will be like those that are goats? But Lord, didn't I do all of these things in your name? Didn't I put on potlucks? And didn't I sell books and DVDs? And he says, I never knew you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You knew about my son, but you and I never talked.
You want to comment on that, Pete Garcia?
I think Jonathan touched on something that's near and dear to me here as of late with regards to this repeated calls to say that we're going to have this great end times revival in America, in particular here before the rapture. And I don't see it. I see the world continuing to press down and continuing to put the screws to the church, and that will continue to force churches to compromise and to close down and to turn apostate. I don't see it this side of the rapture, but after the rapture, Jonathan was spot on. It's going to be a rude awakening for many, many people that they're going to realize what just happened. And I think that God has allowed this time that we're in right now to seed the planet with talk of biblical eschatology, with talk of the rapture, with talk of what's coming in the tribulation. The devil's going to have his hands full getting all this information policed up. And I think people are going to get their hands on it. That's why I think these books and DVDs and these podcasts, interviews, sermons that are still available that I know many believers are saving and stockpiling now for those left behind are so crucial to getting the message out. Because like I said earlier, if only 2% of the pulpits are preaching this, that's 98% of the churches that aren't getting it.
Exactly right. Now, you've got a chapter. We've already referred to it. I want to dwell on it for a moment. It's called Rules for Remnant. And actually, it's a chapter about those. And we're talking to some people right now who are, quite frankly, going to be left behind. They have not given their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ, which you must do in order to be saved. And they're going to be left behind. And you talk to them in this particular chapter, Rules for Remnant. Why don't you expand on that just a little bit beyond what you talked about a few minutes ago?
The genesis of this article I wrote many months back, and really I wanted it just to be something that could be printed out on one sheet of paper, both sides, that has everything listed out. And the way I understood it and the way I still understand it is that the internet is going to shut down after the rapture. They are going to close it down. So information that we have here is going to be pretty limited. It'll be there for a few weeks, maybe in a few months after the rapture, but pretty soon the government that comes into place is going to shut everything down. So I wanted something that people could carry around. people, if they're on the run, if Christians are on the run and they're hiding out, they are not going to be hauling around libraries of books. They're going to be hauling around small books, maybe one Bible that they share with other families. I wanted something that was easy to carry. It had everything listed out on there. I have the rules for salvation. Admit you're a sinner, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, call on his name for salvation. The rules for what to do during this time period. And I know one of them, number two in particular, one is, you know, don't take the mark of the beast for sure. Whatever you have to do, do not take it. The second thing is going to be embracing martyrdom. Revelation 13:7 says, it was granted unto him, speaking of the Antichrist, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. There is no hiding out and hanging out during the tribulation. If you're a Christian, you're going to be hunted. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to be hunted. And the technology that the world has today, the military technology, the drones, the surveillance equipment, the satellites, there's going to be no way to hide. You're not going to be able to hide out in a bunker and eat cans of beans for 7 years. They have ground penetrating radar. They have heat seeking cameras and FLIR, forward looking infrared. That alone is scary. But then you add on top of it the artificial intelligence, yes, the demonic intelligence that's going to come about. The demons are going to be aiding these government officials, and they're able to see through things, and there's enough of them to be everywhere to be able to rat everybody out. There's going to be no way to hide during this time period. This passage in Revelation 13 is pretty frightening when you think about the total control that this man Antichrist is going to have, and it's going to be horrific. I mean, we think about how many people have died over the last 6,000 years of human history just in warfare, right? We're talking maybe, on a generous side, 500 million. There's going to be 2 billion people that will die. That's a quarter, right, of the world's population will die in just a few short years. Mm-hmm. We can't really grasp how bad and how terrible it's going to get in this short period of time. So I would say to anybody listening that is not a believer in Jesus Christ to get right with the Lord today. Don't even risk going into this time period. But if you are a believer now, that you get this material, you get books, you write down Bible passages, you do whatever you got to do, and you leave it so that when you are taken up, that there is evidence behind for those that you never know whose hands it's going to fall into. Mm-hmm. It could fall into one family's hand, and that's all they have, and they're on the run at that point.
A lot of what Pete is talking about is found in this book, The Disappearing Future Events That Will Rock the World. I'm going to play one more clip, and it's of you and Terry James here, and I think you're raising an excellent point towards the end of this clip, and that is, what are folks going to say about all of these suddenly missing people? We made a quick reference to it earlier in the program. We're going to emphasize it again.
Who are the three main antagonists of the tribulation, and what are their roles? And that's for Terry. I really want to hear this.
Well, the three main antagonists, they really mock the role because Satan mimics everything God has put in place. He's tried to pervert everything as we see happening today. He tries to mock everything God does and turn it upside down. And in the sense of these three characters we're talking about, Satan himself considers himself, I think, the Father, God the Father, and the Antichrist would be God the Son, and then the false prophet would be God the Holy Spirit in Satan's eyes. And so those are the three characters we'll be looking at as soon as the rapture occurs. And the rapture, of course, is an imminent event. I mean, it could happen at any moment. Jesus himself said that nobody, even himself at the time he was on earth, knew the day and the hour. So it's imminent. It's an imminent event. And I believe he was talking about the rapture, not the second coming. And these three characters are going to literally make hell on earth for everybody.
Right.
And Satan, of course, will be the master director of all of this, particularly when he is cast out of heaven for the last time. The false prophet is going to call attention to the false son, the Antichrist. And, of course, in that sense, he's the spiritual head of this satanic trinity, we might call it. And don't mean to be disrespectful with that, but it's trinity with a little T, a pitchfork on it. But anyway, that's basically these three characters. Now, I believe, and I know that here, and I'm in agreement with a lot of things that Skywatch does and talks about, a lot of the extraterrestrial stuff, the interdimensional stuff, and I believe that these characters are going to, at this time, delude the whole world with the thought that we have extraterrestrials coming down from heaven, and he will set up the image of the false god, the Antichrist, the false son, and he will cause fire to come down from heaven. And he'll direct all worship to this son. And I believe at the time it's going to be in Revelation chapter 12 where Satan is kicked out of heaven for the very last time, no longer to be able to go into the heavenlies. And, of course, the Bible says, woe be unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down to you, and he is really full of wrath. And so I believe that when the false prophet calls the fire down from heaven, it's going to be the final time that Satan is kicked out of heaven. And, of course, the whole world will believe that they've come to rescue Earth. I think that will be part of the big delusion.
Right.
Now, that's just my postulation, but I think there's good scriptural basis for at least putting forth a postulation. So these are going to be three characters that no one wants to be around to meet.
And that was co-author Terry James, along with Pete Garcia here. Pete, I think the point is that there's a renewed interest as we speak in these so-called extraterrestrials, UFOs, whatever you want to call them. Even some of the major news networks are featuring pilots who are seeing things they cannot explain. And I think that will be a convenient excuse for these pesky Christians who have suddenly disappeared. Your thoughts?
I think Terry was spot on with his comments regarding how Satan loves to mimic everything God does. Mm-hmm. And if we think back to the birth of Christ in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, what was going on in the heavens? You had angels appearing in the heavens, mm-hmm. singing and directing these shepherds to go pay homage to the newborn king. I think Satan is going to mimic that right after the rapture. He's going to have these signs in the heaven. And I think there'll be these great displays of UFOs and cosmic beings and all kinds of deceptions that will go on. Because he has a global level crisis going on with the rapture happening all over the world at the same time. He needs a global level distraction to get people's mind off what just happened and then have them look over here at this shiny thing. And I think these shiny things are going to be these extraterrestrial beings, fallen angels, demons, whatever you want to call them. But they are going to be doing his bidding and they are going to be greatly distracting the world. I think that the distraction has to meet the crisis in this regards.
We have, as we speak, a terrible, terrible, tragic war going on in Eastern Europe. And you're a retired military guy, over 20 years in the U.S. Army. I'm down here to about 5 minutes, but I'd like your perspective on the Russian-Ukraine war. Whatever you want to squeeze in here into the closing minutes of our programming, where do you see this going? Most of us would hope that there'd be a peace effort, a peace treaty. Perhaps Mr. Zelensky even willing to give up some land just to spare the lives of tens of thousands of innocent civilians that are being decimated. Give me your thoughts on this.
Well, this Ukraine crisis has been a slow-boiling crisis since the 90s, and the fact that NATO's kept pressing eastward, even against the public admonitions by Putin to say that if you keep doing this, we're going to react to this. Now, since about 2014, the U.S. has been heavily involved with flipping Ukraine. Victoria Nuland, George Soros, and those folks have vested interest in the Maidan revolution there in 2014 and kicking out the Russian puppet prime minister. We know that the Western globalists have vested interest in turning Ukraine and using this as a key crisis point in which to push their New World Order agenda. So how does that tie in with where we are today? I think Democrats and leftist progressives, globalists, they only have two tactics available to them. And that's either to corrupt an institution, corrupt an agency, or corrupt the foundations and norms of a society, or they create crisis. And then they manage by crisis. So I think that they need this crisis to continue on. They need to keep perpetuating this crisis because right now Biden is not out there seeking a peace deal between the two entities.
That's right.
Instead, he's feeding them weapons and feeding them more weapons and telling them to stay in the fight, stay in the fight. At the same time, telling them, hey, you can't join NATO. But I think that there are calls within the Biden administration and the allies, like Senator Coons from Delaware is actively now calling for U.S. troops to be put in Ukraine. I just think right now with as many red lines as there are surrounding the whole issue, that somebody's bound to trip over him here sooner rather than later, and that the U.S. will be involved militarily. And that's exactly where the Western globalists want us to be. And they need this crisis to distract from the disastrous economic policies that they've fomented on the United States, as well as the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal, which was like a beacon. It's like a light for all the enemies in the world to say, hey, we don't know what we're doing here. And the reason that they need this crisis and they need to perpetuate it is because they see the bloodbath that's coming in November for the midterm elections. And I think that they're getting ready to lose both houses to the Republicans. So they need a crisis to collapse the currency or create an emergency around the currency so that they can go ahead with this central bank digital currency. The reason they want to do that is because when you take away the power of the purse from Congress, what are you left with? What role is Congress at that point going to play? Then they have no ability to affect financial funding and anything else for the government. So that's just going to further entrench power within the executive branch. And then Biden is going to continue to be used by the left and by his handlers until he's no longer useful or mentally fit to stand in office. And then they're going to probably replace him with somebody else that they want. And I don't think it's his VP. Maybe somebody else. So make some kind of emergency declaration that they have to bring back number 44 and reinstate him into office. And they'll do some kind of FDR, make an exception to policy like they did back in World War II for him. That's my prediction.
Folks, you can learn more or communicate with Pete Garcia at rev310.net, rev310.net. Again, the book, we carry it in our online store, is The Disappearing Future Events That Will Rock the World, co-authored by Terry James. And you can call my office for it. Get on our newsletter lists. It's advertised in those newsletter opportunities that we offer you. Pete, thank you for coming on air with me today. I really appreciate it and appreciate the book as well. You know, I use this saying now and then, at least when it's appropriate, and I think after this hour it is appropriate. When the time was right, the sea parted, the walls fell down, the lions went hungry, the sun stood still, the waves were calm, the stone was rolled away, the clouds were parted, and the Lord ascended. And when the time is right, the King of Kings will return. God is never early, and he's never late. He's always right on time, and his plan for you is good. I want to thank you for listening, folks. We'll talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. God called you to be a part of this generation, to shine a light in the darkness, to give someone a cup of cold water, and to tell them about eternal life, available through God's Son, Jesus Christ. So don't grow discouraged. Just know that today's events are allowing everything to fall into place.